this blessed day that you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you for allowing us to enter into your presence and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to give our praise and thanksgiving to a good and gracious God who looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. And you met our needs in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that in him we are complete. We are accepted. We are forgiven. We are chosen. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And nothing that we experience in this life will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Speak to our hearts, God, through your word, that we may love you more fully, more completely, and more passionately, that others will see the reality of your life and your love through us. Bless your word as it goes forth. Minister to your people's hearts and cause them to look up and rejoice, for our redemption draws nearer to us than when we first believed. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, as we continue our series on God's anatomy of love from the title, All In. Mark, chapter 12, and let's start at verse 28. One of the scribes came up and heard him disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What exactly is the soul? Jesus and his disciples were intimately familiar with the Psalms. Matthew 26:30, it says that Jesus and the disciples, after communion, after he ratified that covenant at the table with his disciples, that they sang a hymn together before they went to the Mount of Olives on the night Jesus was betrayed and arrested. We know the songs they sang. After the Passover meal, the Jews sang the Hallels. It's where we get the word hallelujah from. That would be Psalms 113 through Psalms 118. Paul considered the Psalms an essential part of the Christian life. In Ephesians 5:18, he describes the life of the believer. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart. It was Mark Vance who states, your soul is your life, and you must entrust your soul to your Savior daily for sanctification. Is it well with your soul this morning? Does your interior life need some rearranging, reconstructing, nephesh. Nephesh is also a term for animals. But nephesh of animals and nephesh of humans are different. It refers to our physical life, our biological life, which God has given to each of us. Along with the gift of our immortal soul, God has bestowed on us the capacity to make choices. Animals and plants don't have those abilities. They are irrational and therefore operate by instinct rather than by reason. Our souls, on the other hand, are unique and afford us unique capabilities. With our soul, we image, we reflect and mirror the very image of God. We can reason because God can reason. We can think because God can think. We can feel because God can feel. We express ourselves because God is an expression of God. We can exercise the highest power of movement called the will, and so can God because we're made in God's image and likeness. To love the Lord with all your soul means to love Him in the way you live, the choices you make, the behavior and lifestyle you adopt. And here are three predominant ways to love God with all your soul. Number one, love the Lord with all your soul by making godly choices. Sleep on the preacher. Loving God with all your soul, all your being, means making choices that align with Christ and His goodness. It means obeying the commandments of Christ in freedom and love. See, you are set free to obey. You are set free to love God. You are set free to experience God in a way that other human beings cannot unless they're born ordained. Our choices not only shape our character, but they factor into eternity. With that in mind, I want you to listen to what Bishop Fulton Sheen stated. He says, every moment comes to you pregnant with a divine purpose. Time being so precious that God deals it out only second by second, minute by minute. And once it leaves your hand and your person to do with as you please, that time, it plunges into eternity. To remain forever, whatever you made of it. Think of the soul as the core of you. I can see you, but can I really see you? I can't see the core of you. I see some of the layers of you, but not the core. To love the Lord with all your soul, beloved, means to love Him in a way you live. And the choices you make, and the behavior and lifestyle you adopt. Because all that is expressive. How you love, how you live, how you express yourself, your personality, is all a part of the soul. It says the soul is where we express our intellect and our will and our emotions. We are loving God with our soul. It must be about expressing God rather than expressing me. You know, people that, I just want to express myself. No, you should not if you're a Christian. Don't express yourself. You may offend someone. Express God to them. I want to be me. No, don't be you. You're dead in Christ. No, your life isn't with God in Christ. You're not alive anymore. And He lives in you. And you live in Him. You don't want people to see me. You want them to see Him. That's our problem in the church. We haven't grown spiritually to understand that our inner life is more significant than dream was the same. Our French choices shapes our character, right? They mold us into a particular kind of person. For example, if I repeatedly choose to lie and steal, I become a liar and a thief. Because of the choices shaping me on the inside. And what I am on the inside, I will be that on the outside, come on somebody. My choices and free actions shape my being. They father my being. On the other hand, if I repeatedly choose to serve others and to fulfill my obligations and duties, I become a generous, respectful, and reliable person. But I gotta make godly choices. To make a godly choice is to know God. And to know what He says. And to know what it means by what He says. And it says by what it means. And to communicate that in your life to others is an expression of loving God with all your soul. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we have Elijah on Mount Carmel. And Elijah is saying to the nation of Israel, as he stands before these prophets of Baal or Baal, it says, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping, vacillating between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal be God, then follow Him. It's your choice. And the people did not answer Him a word. Because their souls did not love God. Their souls was tied into the soulish affections of the world. And then Joshua, at the end of his life, in Joshua 24, verse 15, he says to Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. Now he's talking to a people who are already, quote, in covenant with God. Just like the Christian quote, a follower of Jesus. Choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is what we choose today. Our lives are the sum of the choices we make. They are an expression of our soul. Plain and simple, our choices show what we are committed to. What are you committed to? Look at your choices. That's what you're committed to. What do you give your passions after? That's what you're committed to. What do you give your time in? That's what you're committed to. What do you give your money to? That's your choice. That makes you what you hunger after, what you long for, what you run after. That's an expression of your soul. Those are the choices that reflect your level of commitment. They reflect what we call your core values. Defining us and displaying our lifestyle before the world. We do what we value. We do what we like. We do what we feel. We do what would bring us that immediate gratification. If we treasure our relationship with the Lord, our choices, beloved, will simply mirror and reflect that treasure. Choices flow from what we treasure the most. What do you treasure the most this morning? Well, that will be your value and your commitment. And that will be where your heart and your soul is. Jesus said God wants you to love Him not only with an effect of your will. Not this kind of in and out, up and down, wishy-washy, emotional roller coaster. Because yes, you'll feel good today, everyone feels good on the honeymoon. But first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, how you feel? Sometimes you've got to work beyond those emotions and make those choices that will bring a level of satisfaction and joy to that relationship. It is a love born out of decisions you make on every day. Your love for God as a follower of Christ is a decision that you make every day, no matter how you feel. Name the things that you do when you don't feel like doing them, and I will guarantee you it's a decision you made. I don't care what it is, but you do it every day. Do it with God. Why do you want to do it with Him? Why do you want to leave Him first? Why can He be preeminent? Why does He have to be an attachment to your life? An attachment to your joy. An attachment to your success. Why can't you be an attachment to His joy? To His glory. To His majesty. To His greatness. Because we don't love God from the soul. We love God only based upon the circumstances in our lives. I can honestly say that God, in these short years on planet Earth, I haven't received everything I wanted from Him. I haven't received everything I asked from Him. I have more failures than successes in my short years on the planet. I'm not going to tell you how old I am because I'm very young. Most of my dreams have never come true. Decision to choose Him over me. Oh my God. Isn't it hard? soul. James said in the first chapter, he said, the one who comes to God, dying, is like a ship, by running, being tossed, far from every land. He says, don't imagine, when you think that that man or woman will receive anything he asks for more. Because he's double soul. In the fourth chapter, James, I think James said, repent, you double minded. You double soul. You confuse. You're having a prognosis here. You need some spiritual therapy. Your mind is schizophrenic. It's split down in there. You're saved or not saved. I'm saved on Sunday. I'm not saved on Monday. Saved on Wednesday. Not saved on Thursday. You're confused. I love God today, but I don't love Him tomorrow. I love Him when things are going right, but I don't love Him when things are going wrong. You're double soul. You're confused. And you need to repent. Change your mind. And choose to love God. A love that is born out of the soul and out of the spirit. So may God come bless you. Does God want to be loved that way? Why are you upset with God this morning? Why aren't you upset with yourself? You know the way you want to be loved. And when people don't love you the way you want to be loved, you excommunicate them. But God doesn't. God's love is patient. It's kind. Long-tempered. Long-suffering. He's waiting on you to love Him. Completely. Secondly, love the Lord with all your soul by pursuing, I know you don't like this word, obedience to His word. Miracle Christians don't like the word obedience or Lord. You know why? Because we're a democracy. We're not taught to obey anybody. You're your own man, you're your own woman. You have your own rights. Lord, we have presidents. We have kings and queens. But we're so enamored with the pageantry of England. But we love our individuality. We don't want to comply with anything that runs us the wrong way. We will protest. We will pick to get what we want. I'm not obeying no rules. I'm a rules man. We'll get our own lobby. We'll push those and press those congressmen and senators to change the rules. Change that goalpost because I don't like where that goalpost is. Love it. You can't relate to God like you're an American. You can't relate to God like you're a part of a democracy. You've got to relate to God like you're a part of a kingdom. But there's a sovereign God, and you are His servant. It is amazing the resistance you receive from professing believers when it comes to the subject of obedience or compliance to the Word of God. Maybe it's due to the misconception about what we mean by obedience. We do not mean perfection. We do mean direction. We don't mean that as you obey, you will be perfect in your obedience. But at least you're pursuing perfection. Right? Don't the football player want to be perfect in his pursuit? The track player want to be perfect in their pursuit. The tennis player want to be perfect in their skill. Not that they're going to reach it, but at least they're pursuing it. Why can't the Christian pursue perfection in God? Why can't we press on despite how we feel? And put and be all in and achieving what God wants us to achieve. The trajectory of our lives is to express actions and behaviors that conform to the Word of God. John 14:15, if you love me, you will. See, not you feel,
It's legalism. It's the do and don't list. It's personal achievement. It's a fake, false spirituality that says somehow God is going to consider what you do on earth in order to get you into heaven. The only way you want to get into heaven below is that if he says you can come, how did that default cross get into heaven? He didn't have no background in theology. He didn't have no church membership. He was never baptized in water. But he said, sir, when you come into your democracy, when you come into your totalitarian government, when you come into your communist government, and when you come into your kingdom, the one you rule, remember me. On that basis, he gets in. Because he noticed in Jesus
that he was a king of another king.
And the only way we get in is that he said we can come. You know how you went to parties? I know you went to parties. I'm playing with me this morning. You went to parties? You was with that friend that knew the person at the door, and you said, he was me. And you didn't have to pay that 50 cent to get in, or that dollar to get into the house party. And that's how it is in heaven. How you get here?
He said, I can come. There's nothing I have to offer. There's nothing I have to bring to that decision.
So it is, beloved, it's a sanctification work. It's not a justification work. It's you becoming more like Jesus, because Jesus was obedient to the Father perfectly. And your pursuit should be perfect obedience. If you don't reach it, that's fine. There's always forgiveness and cleansing every day. As you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful, he's just. He will forgive you of your sins. And not only that, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Loving God with all our souls is an expression of our minds, of our heart, of our will, conforming to his command, our will submitting to his commands, and our desires living out those commands through behavior. Loving God from the soul is demonstrative, and we must keep his commandments from the core of our being. When we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we are tangibly expressing our love for the Lord. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man, human beings, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The late Dr. Arthur Ayton had it right when he named his weekly radio program on 1090, Food for the Soul. That's what it's for. And when you come here, we're trying to give you food for your soul. We're trying to give you food for your soul. Not food to make you feel better, look better, sound better, do better, but food that will make you more in love with Jesus. More desirous to live for him and to be like him in the world. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is an illustration of a soul expressing itself through obedience to the voice of the Lord. Luke 1:38. Mary heard the message from the angel Gabriel. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Oh, that's rich. She was speaking from her soul. Luke 1:46-47. And then she said this from the soul. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary loved God with all her soul. How did she do it? By pursuing and submitting to the Word of God. That's how it's done, beloved. It's not magic. It's not close your eyes and three wishes. his soul trusted God. The promise to Abraham was based upon God's purposes for him. Go to Romans chapter 4. I want you to see this with your own eyes and hear it with your own ears. And to see this man who loved God follow soul. Romans 4, 19 through 21 says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body when he's 100 years old, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, she was 90. She's way past childbearing years. 20. No unbelief made him waver concerning what? The promise of God. That's going to say the word of God. But he grew up strong in faith at 100 years old. Strong in faith as he gave glory to God. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Oh, that's like God with soul. Our father of faith, Abraham, loved the Lord God with all his soul by submitting to his word and obeying it. Last one. How do you love the Lord with all your soul? You love the Lord with all your soul by pursuing a life of humility. No, he wasn't looking for that one. Humility in attitudes and speech. See, embracing humility, beloved, is a stage where we can express ourselves or express our love to God. How is humility an expression of love to God? Well, I take you no further than the cross. Jesus, who is God, was equal with the Father. He didn't think it was robbery to be on the same level with the Father. And he was willing to become a man because he didn't think he was losing anything of his godness by taking on humanity. And he went down to fulfill the Father's will for the salvation of his people. And God the Father highly exalted him because of that humiliation, that descent, taking on another nature, the nature of human beings, but a perfect, sinless nature. And God exalted him because of that. He's our example of humility, Jesus. He washed feet, but he was God in human flesh. He served others, but he was God in human flesh. He was not sitting in a big chair with a big wing and having people serve him like reverends do. Bishops and archbishops, apostles and would-be apostles, who don't prophesy, they prophesy lie. Listen, Jesus is our example. He taught us how to love from a place of humility.
they said it. It came right from really the core of who they are. That's why you gotta believe them. Don't doubt them. Don't let them get by with, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to say that. No, you didn't mean to say that at this moment. But you meant to say it. Right? Sometimes we say to our friends, you know that Negro. And it so touched you, you're overwhelmed with emotion. God speaks to our souls, and we speak from our souls to one another. What are we saying? Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word spoken. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. You will be judged. How you express yourself to others in communication and conduct flows out of the spiritual anatomy of the soul. That's the real you. It's the core you. That's the you that you don't even know very well. But God does. Well, the old saints had it right. The Lord knows me better than I know myself. That's true. And it demonstrates how you love God from the depths of the soul. What you say with your mouth in the midst of your situations. Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. That's the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh, I love that. Look, we all have situations that are tough, that bring this burdensome, weighty. But we gotta build each other up with a word of encouragement that will speak to the soul. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be what? Gracious. Seasoned with salt. So that you may know how you should respond and answer each person. If you go through the book of Psalms, they are singing and saying from their heart and expressing to God from their heart their condition. We're reminded of Psalms 42 when the psalmist says, as the deer pants after the waterbrook, so my soul pants after thee, O God. And he talks about the condition of his soul, that his soul was weary. He was in a dry and desert place. He felt hopeless and discouraged. And then he says to himself, so, hope in God. You see what he did? He listened to himself, but he didn't obey himself. Because he's talking to himself. Beloved, it's better to talk to yourself. Just don't listen to yourself. Talk about how bad it is to yourself. Don't respond to say, hope in God, my soul. Trust in God, my soul. God is our deliverance. God is our way maker. God is our rock and our salvation. God is going to keep and sustain us, no matter how bad your soul feels. yourself. You can talk yourself into a deeper mind. You can talk yourself into a deeper hole and deeper depression and deeper despair. And then you'll be thinking about taking your life. That's why you should sing unto the Lord. And confess unto the Lord. And worship the Lord. Even when your soul is overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. Beloved, when Jesus is our great treasure, our affections are captured. This is how we love God with all our soul. When our affections, our feelings, and our desires are captured by Him, then choices become, here it is, God-centered. And my lifestyle become a lifestyle of humility and godliness before God. This is loving God with all your soul. Let's pray. Father God, today we praise you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We will tell of all the marvelous things that you have done for us. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will sing praises to your great, high, and holy name. We cry out with a loud voice today. Thanks be to our God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your mercy towards those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, you have removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life in exchange for mine. You made us worthy to love and to know you intimately and personally and comprehensively and completely by your indwelling Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Thank you. Today,